I just, I don't understand how a man's brain works. And
but most just, men don't know how their brains work.
Yeah, well, that's the problem.
Hi, and welcome to This Upbeat Life, the show where we take a light-hearted look at life, what makes us tick, and explore what makes people happy. I'm Simon JJ Green, and I'll be interviewing ordinary people from all walks of life, as well as looking at the latest in wellness, health science, nature, and the quirkier side of the health and well-being industry. Now, please remember that the information and opinions shared on this podcast are for general knowledge and informational purposes only, and do not constitute medical advice. Now, let's get on with today's episode.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah. Yeah, this is going to be great.
What are we doing? How are we doing this?
I don't know. This is the first time we've done it. Hello and welcome to This Upbeat Life, the podcast where we explore wellness and health. And today I've got two friends of mine. I've got Jessica and Lucy.
Hello.
Right. Hello.
So Lucy, introduce yourself.
Hello, I'm Lucy. I'm 23 and I work at a local sports club and I've just finished my master's degree.
My name is Jess and I work at the same local sports club and I'm 18 and I'm doing A-levels at the moment.
Yeah. Excellent. Great stuff. So this podcast is all about health and wellness, and but we also like to find out about people, you know, what makes them tick. It's for the most interesting part, I think, of human beings. So I'm going to ask you some questions, if that's all right.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the first questions I wanted to ask you is, let's start with Lucy. Do you consider yourself an extrovert or an introvert?
Ooh, this is a tough one. I think growing up, I was very introverted. I was really shy and I hated talking to people. But I would definitely class myself as an extrovert now. I think talking to people is what makes me really happy. And I think, Simon, you've probably seen over the last few years you've known me, I've become a lot more extroverted.
Definitely. Yes. I can remember the first day that I met you. You were very quiet.
I was.
Yes.
Am I quiet now?
No, not at all. No. What about you? What about you, Jess? Do you consider yourself an extrovert or an introvert?
I'm kind of somewhere in between, I think. Like, same as Lucy, I kind of grew up quite, I think, I don't know whether being shy and being introverted is the same thing, really. You can be quite quiet and you can still be outgoing-ish.
Yeah.
I think I'm kind of in the middle. I've always said that I'm introverted until I'm in a situation to be extroverted, for example, like at a party or something.
Being social,
yeah, like at work and everything. But definitely, like, speaking to people, like Lucy said, is kind of brings the extroverted out of you, to be honest.
Okay, Lucy, have you got anything that you think of as your biggest pet peeve, something that annoys you the most?
Definitely people who just don't have manners. I think that's the thing that really frustrates me. People that don't say please and thank you, I think, especially working in customer service, you just realise how many people just haven't developed those skills to be able to say thank you. That would probably be my biggest one.
Do you think that it's intentional, or are they just entitled? Or
I don't think they intentionally don't say it. I think they just don't think they need to.
Okay.
But I think saying things like please and thank you goes a long way.
Of course, yeah.
Really. But
what about you, Jessica?
Probably the same in the respect of, like, kind of like what you're bordering on is when people think they don't need to because it's kind of like your job.
Yeah.
To give, like, they're kind of like, well, I'm paying you to give me this, so why do I need to add something extra? Or when you even, like, simply, like, especially, like, driving, like, if people don't say thank you when you let them across the road or something, or when you don't let them pass, it really, like, really annoys me.
Oh, I know what you mean there, yeah.
I also really hate slow walkers.
Slow walkers.
You know, when
when
they take up the whole entire pavement and I'm like, it's a four people pavement. There's two of you. You're not even together.
I think there should be fast lanes and slow lanes.
You 100%. You can see me in your peripheral and you choose to take up space.
Just move.
Does that mean that, older people are getting your way?
No.
They're the worst.
No, I would gladly let them walk and walk slowly behind them. But people that are fully capable of walking faster. And also when you come the other way, like when they're coming the other way and you're walking, like when I'm walking like with my tennis bag and they can see that I've got tennis rackets poking out and I don't want to hit them, they just still stay like, come single file.
Are you one of these speed walkers then?
I feel like because I'm little, I've always had to, like, people taller, they've got like longer legs.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'1.5".
5'1.5", okay.
That half really matters.
And Lucy, do you think you're not short, are you?
I'm not short. I'm tall. I'm 5'8". And
I think about my height, if not taller. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, me being a bit taller and Jess being quite short, when we're standing next to each other, our height difference is quite comical.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Are you annoyed by slow walkers?
Definitely. I find them very frustrating. I just think if you're going to be slow, that's fine, but just stick to one side of the pavement.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm one of the slow walkers.
Oh.
I know. How dare I? I know.
Don't do this anymore.
Let's go to Jess.
Mm-hmm.
Jess, have you got a life motto?
Oh, I see. The thing is, I could come up with so many things. I think the general one, just for everyone, is kind of like, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. And it's just like, the world keeps turning, blah, 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 all that.
Okay.
But I feel like,
Shit happens. Yeah.
But you also want to go to someone. Shit happens, but eat shit. Like, do you know what I mean?
What about you, Lucy? Have you got a life motto?
I have a motto I live by.
Yeah.
It's one my mum told me. And whenever anything happens, I come back to this motto. It is, never run after a man or a bus because another one will be coming along shortly.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apart from number 67 in Walthamstow. never come.
The 179.
That one doesn't count. Yes.
No. Yeah. Well, the 179. Yes.
That's the exception. Yeah.
That was my first taste of deception.
Going back to your ages, you're quite young, I would say, compared to myself. So for my listeners, I'm 62 at the time of this recording, and Lucy, you're 23, and Jess, you're 18, is that right? Yeah. So I don't know if this makes any sense, but, you know, is there any advice you would give your younger self?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I wish I could speak to my 16-year-old self.
Like, this is Lucy, yeah, yeah.
Yes. I would tell her to just keep going, have more faith in yourself. Believe in yourself.
Yeah.
No one knows what they're doing. You're doing completely fine. Stop worrying.
Yeah. That's good advice, actually, yeah. What about you, Jess?
I think mine would be like, just chill out. Stop worrying about stuff that's not going to happen or that's not going to matter within 5 years' time. Stuff you can't change because it just does not. I'm thinking about, you think about stuff that you used to worry about. Say, for example, when you was like 5 and you were scared of the dark or something.
Yeah.
Or you were scared of clowns. Now you're like, I'm scared of like being cheated on or not being in a relationship or scared of being like, there's all different things that go, oh, I'm scared I'm not getting that grade or something like that. So
yeah.
I guess I'm kind of like, I wish I kind of said, like, just do what you can with what you've got and don't try and have like unrealistic expectations of what you could have.
That is good advice.
Just do what you can with what you've got at that time.
What about, it's one of my favourite things, absolutely nothing to do with health or wellness or anything like that, but do you believe in ghosts or the paranormal? Let's start with Jess.
Mm. I don't believe in the paranormal, where it's like the ghosts and stuff. I believe that there might be some sort of presence. Like, I like to think that, say, for example, when, you know, when your nan passes away or something like that, they're still watching over you a little bit. Like, I think that there must be something.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know when you have a conscience, there can't be, I don't know, there must be that, I get a feeling sometimes that you're being, not watched, but looked over a little bit.
Maybe
there's something like that.
Somebody up there is looking down on you.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. But.
And what about you, Lucy?
I have a very different answer.
What we're looking for.
I don't believe in anything. I just think you live, you die, that's it. I really think that.
Yeah, yeah.
When
you're dead, you're dead.
When you're dead, you're dead.
Oh, yeah, no.
Your time's up, you're not coming back to haunt anybody or anything like that. Oh, thank goodness for that.
I don't believe in the afterlife.
I think that's probably why, like, it's best to kind of
make the most
appreciate it, because I think when people think, and there's nothing wrong with it, but when people
appreciate your life, with what you've got,
they're kind of like trying to skip this part to get to the next part, and I'm kind of like, well, what if there isn't a next part and you've just wasted this part?
There's only one way to find out, isn't
there? Exactly, and you can't go back, can you? So,
okay. What about, since we're on that track, when you die, what do you reckon? Would you like to be buried or cremated? Or something different? Let's go for Lucy.
I would like to be cremated. I just don't really like the idea of my body being underground.
Eaten by worms?
I love worms, but I probably wouldn't choose for them to eat my flesh.
No.
I think, I don't know, I'd probably like to be cremated and scattered in a place that I love.
Oh, okay.
Something like that.
Where would that be, do you think?
Ooh, if I was to die right now.
Yeah.
I think I'd probably like to, I don't know if it's legal. I think I'd like to be scattered around Epping Forest.
You can, I think.
I can't see why that's not legal.
Who's going to know?
It's just dust.
It's just dust.
Well, no, it's Lucy dust.
It's Lucy dust.
It's fairy dust.
What about you, Jess?
Same.
You'd be cremated.
Yeah, I think I'd feel a bit guilty taking up space underground. Do you know what I mean? Like, when you see, go around and you see the graves and they're like almost in the ground, I just feel like, I'd rather.
That really sums up your personality.
It does a little bit.
Afraid of taking up space.
Space on the ground. No, but seriously, like.
That's very self-conscious. Yeah. I think there is, you know, very real problem, isn't there, with people being buried and churches and places running out of space.
I mean, it's great for in 1,000 years time when, like, I don't know, apes want to dig us up and figure us out, but. I don't really want to.
Evolution is turning.
Yeah, they're going to take over the world, aren't they? So I feel like they'd dig me up and they'd be like, it's a very small person. Like, I don't know.
Oh, it's a child.
Oh my God, it's like 12. And then they figure out that I'm actually like 70 something. No, I'd like to be cremated because you can kind of like, you can get creative, can't you?
You
don't have to be scattered in one place.
No, and I think one of the most interesting ones I've seen so far is that you're cremated and your ashes are put into like a giant firework.
Whoa, and I want to be shooting into the sky.
You know, and then they shoot you up into the sky and it explodes and then you just rain dust on everybody.
I'm just like in someone's garden.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
someone's car.
It's great.
Oh, yeah, really. So cool. What colour would I be?
What colour? You mean the firework?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it'd be red.
Red firework.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
What about yourself? Deep purple.
You'd be orange.
Orange. Yeah. Is that your favourite colour?
It is, but I think it just suits my personality.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Like Donald Trump style.
No. Right, okay. Her favourite colour is not orange.
I hate orange.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. We know where their political leanings lie. Okay, so let's talk about donuts.
I love those.
Mm. Yeah.
I could go off and turn.
Ring donuts, Krispy Kremes. Jessica, what's your favourite?
I actually am not a massive fan of Krispy Kremes.
Okay.
I think they all taste the same.
Ooh.
They're all quite like, I don't know. It's you spend 15 quid on like a three pack or a four pack of donuts or something. And then you.
Is that how much they cost?
They're so expensive.
I don't buy them.
They're really expensive.
Are they? Yeah. Wow, I did not know that.
So what donuts do you
I love the just the plain sugared.
What, the ring donuts?
Fun fair ones.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, the little, have you seen the mini ones?
Powdered sugar.
Yeah, they do in the they are, especially if they've been freshly cooked.
Oh my God.
They're very Moorish. You know, you get a bag of 12 and they're gone in seconds.
Mm-hmm. I remember I went to Southend with a few mates and I got six. I think it was six. And it was to share. No one wanted any, which was crazy. I don't know. I ate all of them within the space of like 5 minutes.
Easily done.
Easily consumed.
Easily done. Yeah. What about you? Lucy?
I would agree. I really like the seaside donuts. I go to Brighton like a couple of times a year and with my mum, and we have to get donuts. But like my favourite, if I was just like at home and thought, I want to go get a donut, I'd get like a 5-pack of jam, like sugar donuts from Sainsbury's.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For a pound as well.
For a pound.
Perfect.
Ooh. Yeah, I just like the ring donuts, just ordinary sugared ring donuts, nice
nothing
and simple.
Too over the top.
No, nothing too fancy.
I think a lot of the ones with so much icing are too sick.
I have had Krispy Kremes before, but they hurt my teeth.
Yeah.
So because they're so sweet and sugary.
Oh, I see.
You know,
I've never had that before. Or it hurts your teeth.
Yeah.
I get that with sweets sometimes.
But when you get to my age, you'll discover that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Looking forward to
it. It's a bit like having, chewing an ice cube or something like that.
It's crunchy.
Well, if we get back on track with some sort of vague health and wellness stuff, this is what the podcast is about.
That obsession with donuts. We're not very healthy, are we?
Well, do you know, moderation, everything in moderation, as my grandmother used to say to me. I don't know what counts as a moderate amount of donuts. 10?
10 a day?
I would say so.
That's a lot. Yeah.
Makes me happy.
I think in America, the annual consumption of donuts is something like 1.47 billion donuts a year.
That's a lot of donuts.
It is a load of donuts, yeah. Right, so let's just go on to your talking about health. And we were saying that as a young person, you might have some pressures on you as a youngster. Let's say for Lucy, how would you describe your overall mental health right now?
Right now, I would say it's generally quite good. I think I spend most of my time happy. I am in a kind of weird transitional phase of my life, though, since finishing university and kind of job hunting. And I think you do definitely have days where the rejections become quite overwhelming. And
this is your job, the job hunting rejections.
Job hunting and just life. It can get quite, you can feel like you're stuck, really. But I think generally I'm very happy at the moment.
Excellent.
And my mental health is definitely a lot better than it has been in the past.
Okay. And what about you, Jess?
I think, I think I'm in a good place, but I think we have ups and downs, to be honest. Like, think you're not in a good place. Like, I think if you'd asked me maybe 4 days ago, I'd probably gone, oh, no, it's all gone to crap or something like that. But no, I think I'm fine. I think it's just growing up and hormones and
every day's different.
Whatever goes on that day, like, just leave it behind sort of thing.
Yeah. It's a very human thing, isn't it?
To be,
I mean, nobody can be happy every day.
No.
I can't think of anybody
who's happy every day.
But, sometimes I think about
dogs are really happy.
Oh, my dogs are definitely very happy every day. But I think of things like well-known comedians who've got everything and yet they've not made it. And you just think, well, Robin Williams. Yeah, you'd think the people like that would be really happy, but obviously not. So. Jessica, what about some things that, what things make you feel happy and fulfilled
I think
in your life sort of thing?
I think when I'm, because I grew up like doing sports and stuff, I think when at the end of the day you feel physically tired and not just mentally tired, you actually feel physically tired.
Is that physically tired from sport or just
from
working?
Sport, from being productive that day, just from knowing that you've got like more than four things done,
Right.
I think that's what makes me kind of satisfied.
Let me play devil's advocate here then. Do you not think that getting to spend all day in bed scrolling and having a cup of tea or a hot chocolate and donuts and stuff, isn't that fulfilling? And,
No. Not for me. I think I grew up with kind of, my parents are very active, so I don't really get many lay-ins.
No duvet days for you.
No duvet days ever. I think when I hate it because when I'm ill and say, for example, you're sitting down and you're literally completely paralyzed and you can't move, I feel like really icky and just really like hot and muggy. And just, I think I feel fulfilled when it's like, I've got a bit of fresh air. I feel like when you're outside and stuff like that, it always makes you feel better. But if I'm in a dark room in bed all day, it's quite depressing.
Oh, okay. Right. Other end of the spectrum. Yeah. Okay. So, Lucy, what about you? What sort of things make you feel happy and fulfilled in your life, do you think?
I think for me, it's really spending time with people I care about, and also being in nature and around animals is what really makes me happy. I think...
Because that's something we haven't really touched on, isn't it? How much you really like animals.
I do really like animals. Like, a lot. But I think I feel like my purpose in life is to help people and other beings, animals. So I think if I can help other people and make a difference to their day and also help animals and that whole side of it, then that's really what makes me happy.
Oh, well, that's really good. So what sort of things then do you do to sort of relax and de-stress?
I really love reading. I spend a lot of my time reading. I like mainly fiction books. I'm actually about to start a book club tomorrow. I'm joining a book club.
Hey.
Which is exciting.
That sounds good, yeah.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
Is that a particular genre of books, or is it everybody reads anything?
This one's really broad. I think it's just all kind of fiction, different genres in fiction.
Okay.
So we'll see how it goes.
Sounds good.
Definitely going to push me out of my comfort zone a bit, but it'll be fun.
Is it just reading then that you like to do to relax, or?
I've recently got into running as well. I'm still getting better at it, but right. I find it really fun, and kind of what Jess said earlier about feeling tired after you've exercised and like done something good. It's a really nice feeling, definitely.
I'm disappointed you didn't say something like wrestling alligators or...
Oh, well, Crocodile Dundee. You know, I wanted to keep it a bit calmer for the
book. Oh, right, okay, yeah. What about you, Jess? What do you do?
I like to run. I think exercising is probably the best source of dopamine you can get. And
excellent, yeah.
Other than dog therapy, obviously.
Definitely dog therapy is the best, isn't it?
So, if I had a dog, I wouldn't run.
So like I said, you can have mine anytime.
Oh my God, please. I like to, to de-stress, it will probably be to run.
Yeah.
Because that just gets it all out and you can, and then you have a shower and stuff, and that's all nice to actually relax. I like to put on like a film that I've watched 1,000 times.
Oh, have you got a favourite then?
I just chuck on like Friends or something.
Oh, Friends,
or How
yeah.
to Lose a Guy in 10 Days with Matthew.
Never heard of that one.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that film.
How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
I love that film.
Have you seen that one, Lucy?
Did we watch it together?
We did. We did.
Yeah. It's memorable, obviously.
Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, I'm really awful with films.
Oh, it's so
I enjoyed
good.
It at the time.
That and Pretty Woman.
A Pretty Woman I've seen.
Oh,
that's because it's an old film.
Yeah, Julia Roberts. Yeah. Like Notting Hills. Like those comfort films.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I love
those
comfort films. Okay. That is background noise. And then I like to just think, really.
Right. Okay. That's good. So in terms of, things get on top of you, do you think you've got people in your life that you can go and talk to and offload things? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So would that be somebody in your family or someone else close to you? Let's start with Lucy.
For me, my mum is definitely the person I talk to first about everything. And I'm really lucky to have that relationship with her. But since becoming friends with Jess about a year ago, I find that it's just so nice to have someone you can always talk to as well. I think I've been really lucky with my my friends and family are really what get me through kind of hard times.
Quite supportive, yeah.
Very, very supportive. Yeah. Great support.
Well, what about you, Jess?
Yeah, same. Like, I think I do talk to my mom about a lot of stuff, like, see, like the general stuff, like boys and girly stuff and everything. Don't really talk to my, yeah, I talk to my dad about a few bits and pieces, and my brother, because they're boys, they kind of just go, like, don't worry about it. Sometimes you need to, like, go off on a tangent and, like, bitch about someone for a minute, like, and they let you bitch, like, mums do that. They and then they bitch with you, and it's great. But, yeah, since I've become friends with Lucy, and I never thought I'd meet someone at work that would help, like, me offload so much stuff. And it's all, like, random stuff. Like, I'll come in and I'll be like, guess what? She'll be like, what? I'll be like, I tripped over today. I fell down the stairs.
No, but I did that.
You did?
Yeah, I did the other day. Yeah. I was like, I fell over.
And I just cannot stop laughing because you can just imagine it. But, like, that is that joy of, even if it's not even something heavy, it's like, oh, I did something so embarrassing today. And then you get to laugh about it. It's great.
Yeah, that's
really good.
That's good to be able to share.
Yeah.
With people, yeah.
Yeah.
So as young adults, mm-hmm. what do you think are some of the common things that stress you out, perhaps on a daily or weekly basis? What about you, Jess? Anything that stresses you out in particular?
Well, because I'm in school, weekly basis is homework and due dates and studying. I think time management really stresses me out. I think because I want to do something that I enjoy. I also want to do something that will benefit me mentally and physically, like going to the gym or playing tennis or going for a run or something like that. And then I have to do stuff that I don't want to do.
Yeah.
Like studying and homework and stuff like that. So I think my stress is definitely time management. And then I need sleep. If I don't get sleep, I can't function.
So are you one of these people that does like the 8 hours or 9 hours of sleep a day or night?
I try. Yeah, it's not like intentional where I'm like, okay, it's like 10 o'clock, I need to go to sleep now. It's like one of those things where I'm kind of like, I'm doing homework and I'm like, oh, it's coming up to like 9:30, 10 o'clock. Maybe I should stop now. Need minutes on mind and then so I can get up in the morning and go to school and everything. But yeah, I think it's just time management really. Mm. And
what sort of things stress you out, Luz?
Men
stress you out. Okay.
Yeah, forget mine.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah. I think men are very stressful. Along with the stress of trying to find a job, I would say men are probably the most stressful thing in my life currently.
Is that because you're going out with one or you're looking for one or are they just in general?
Just trying to date men is just stressful.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So explain. I'm just... How is it stressful?
I think I don't really understand how they work.
We've got different like mindsets, don't we?
Yeah.
I think you'll find that men say the same thing about women.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I don't understand how a man's brain works, and
but men don't know how their brains work.
Yeah, well, that's the problem.
They're so simple, but yeah, so
complicated.
Complicated at the same time because they're so simple, but we're kind of like how we don't understand the simpleness, if you know what I mean. Yeah. So it's
okay.
Yeah,
fair enough. And that's always just mostly men that stress you out.
No, I felt like I already touched on the fact that job hunting is stressful. I've applied to so many jobs and I've got so many rejections that sometimes I'm like, oh no, I'm going to be unemployed, but just got to keep going.
That's true. I must admit, it's probably quite a common factor for young people nowadays trying to get a job because it's not as easy perhaps as in my day to get one. But, you know, don't give up.
Keep going.
Yeah,
definitely. No choice.
Exactly that. Yeah. So, do you think there's any time in your life where you've been really overwhelmed and stressed out by something? And if so, how did you cope? Right, Jess. What about you?
I think it's always when I love change. I love changing jobs. I don't mind moving from one place to another. I think it's really exciting. You get to meet new people and everything, and I find it very comfortable doing that now. But I think sometimes it hits you and you're like, oh my god, this is like a new set of things that you could possibly, like, I think, not to go too emotional into it, but like, it's a new set of things that you could possibly lose. Like, you've got more to lose. Like, I think
when I joined,
I think when I was in the, because I used to work at hairdressers, and I got a job there, and I was like, oh my God, this could be something that I could easily lose because I can mess it up or something like that. So I think.
Mess up a haircut? Never.
Mess up a haircut, mess up how to wash out someone's hair, because that can be dangerous sometimes, especially with bleach, or mess up an appointment and all their appointments get messed up because they're so stressed out all the time.
Is that like you're worried about being fired or something like that?
I just worry about being an inconvenience, I think.
Okay. And so that sort of thing, how do you cope with that? How do you overcome?
I just kind of laugh it off. Now, I kind of laugh at myself if I make a mistake. And
right.
It's quite funny because I'm kind of like, oh my God, sorry, I forgot to do that. And then if they, like, normally people, they reciprocate and they laugh it off with you, especially if
laughter is a good
and they're like, oh no, it's fine, especially with people that suck. People can be so nice. They can be like, oh yeah, no, I used to work in a hairdresser's, or I used to work behind a bar, I get it. Like,
yeah,
so you get the odd one where they're like, how can you mess that up? But it's, you just keep laughing it off, and I think that's probably the best way to cope.
Yeah. So what about you, Lucy? Anything that's ever overwhelmed you or stressed you and you had to cope with it?
Yeah, I think I mentioned earlier about speaking to my 16-year-old self, and I think that was the time in my life where I've been the most stressed and overwhelmed and struggled, like, mentally as well. It all kind of started during my GCSEs, and I just couldn't cope with it, like, mentally, the pressure. I was putting so much pressure on myself. Don't think I coped with it very well. I think I just got through it, and then my life kind of started when I left school. I don't think I really did cope.
Right.
I just somehow made it through. And then I feel like my life started when I left school. So.
Okay. Fair enough. I think that's, you know, not everybody can cope with stuff, can they? No. And we just do muddle through with things, you know, so, and hope everything's okay.
Yeah.
So how important do you think it is, for example, to you, for your mental health and physical health, perhaps, you know, your social connections, your friendships, and things like that. Is that very important, or do you think you can do without friends or anything?
I think it's important when you. I think, or if you don't have them, I think if you don't have, well, obviously, like, it's good, it's great to have friends. But if you don't have friends, you don't have that thing of, oh, someone's acting different today towards me. And then you've got that paranoia for the whole day. And you're like, oh my God, what have I done wrong? Blah, blah, blah. Because you're kind of just like living on your own. And it can be great. I've done it quite a few times where I haven't really had people around. But I've just learned to be, I think it's great to learn, be comfortable in your own company.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think you're absolutely right. It's quite and that's quite a skill.
It's quite
to
rare
be comfortable
as well.
in your own company, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people are very afraid of being alone. And I'm kind of like, if you're alone, then everything's up to you. No one can let you down.
True.
I think it's just, it can be quite, you don't have to, no one's relying on you. You don't have to rely on anyone else. There's not that pressure of expectations or anything. But it's great to have friends. It's really good to have friends, because when you realise that you've actually got a good set of people around you, it's quite that's quite nice. You feel very purposeful in that you're in someone else's life as well, not just your own. So,
yeah. What about you, Lucy? Are friends essential, not essential?
I think they're very essential. I just don't know what I would do without my friends. I think my life would be very different if I didn't have so many good people in my life. And yeah, I just think they just make every day a little bit easier. Or a lot easier in some cases. It's just so nice to have people that just kind of look out for you and always have your back. I feel like I've met quite a lot of people I can really trust. I'm very lucky.
Oh, that's great.
Jess isn't one of them.
Oh, no. That's such a shame. I'm going to go back to like, oh yeah, I like being alone, and you know what, you don't need friends, even if they are good. Like,
nice. I mean, there's a famous film where one of the ladies says, "I want to be alone." It's I can't remember, it's very 1930s, I think.
Oh, wow.
in terms of your friendships and you know, your social circles and so on, how essential is social media to you? You know, like your Instagrams and your Snapchats or whatever you guys use nowadays.
I don't have social media.
No Facebook, no Instagram, no...
No Facebook, no Instagram, no TikTok. I do have Snapchat because it's like another source of... I wouldn't even call it... It's social media, but it's not in the social media respect of publicity. I think that's what it's kind of categorized now as more of a public thing rather than a communication thing. Sure. I think Snapchat kind of can just be chucked in the category of WhatsApp and iMessage and stuff like
right,
that.
Right, okay.
So social media is, I've never had social media. No one's ever judged me for not having social media either. I just don't think it's essential.
That's really an interesting take, actually, because I feel sometimes people are amazed or stunned if a young person says,
I do get like, well, you don't have Instagram and that. Yeah, but they don't go, oh my God, you're like, it's never affected my friendships with people. I think it might have affected maybe being known to people, maybe in my school and stuff.
Yeah.
They can't find me and whatnot. And like, people nowadays, I think, are afraid to go up to you and ask for your phone number and ask for your Snapchat or something like that. So they kind of try and find you.
I see. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then do it through that.
Try and stalk you online first.
Find out stuff about it. And then no one ever really takes the time to get to know you. But it does have its benefits. Like, I think a lot of people meet each other online and stuff.
And that's very common nowadays, isn't it?
Yeah, you meet like the same demographic as people as you and stuff. But I think social media can be great for a lot of things.
Well, so yes, very useful in other things. Yeah. What about you, Lucy? Is social media important, or you don't give a monkey's?
I definitely think it's more important to me than it is to Jess. I think I found it a lot more important when I was a teenager. I met a lot of my really close friends through social media, which might sound dodgy, but our parents were always around.
That's a modern way, isn't it? Social media. That's how you make friends.
We all liked the same music. We would go to the same concerts. Our mums would all be there. And I've met some of my best friends that I've been friends with for over 10 years now. I still see them regularly. So for me, that was really important when I was at school and struggling with friendships there. Now, I think it's definitely less important to me. I can remember a point in my life where I would worry about how many likes an Instagram post got, things like that. And now it just feels so silly. But I love Instagram for the pictures as well.
Sure.
I'm really into pictures and photography. And I think now I'm in a better place mentally as well. I can look at it with a better kind of outlook as well.
So right.
It's easier.
And do you think that, this is for both of you, do you think that social media is detrimental for younger people? I mean, nowadays children are getting phones at the age of 8, 9, 10. And they're still able to create TikTok content or even sign up for TikTok, you know. And do you think that's a negative thing, or do you think that's just the way life is now?
I think that kids being exposed to social media so young can be quite detrimental. But at the same time, it can also kind of be like, I've always thought that, especially like, obviously I don't have like Instagram and stuff, but I look on Pinterest and everything, and you see someone, you think, oh my God, she is so beautiful. And you're like, oh my God, I wish I looked like her and stuff like that. I think when kids at such a young age, when they're still developing, they're still growing up, and they want to grow up so fast, and they don't appreciate their childhood as much. If I had the choice, I would go back to my childhood and try and appreciate it more, even though I didn't even have this stuff, like minus this stuff. And then having the social media on top of that erases more of their childhood. And like, it's so important to have such a good childhood, I think. Especially growing up and stuff, you need to have hobbies of, oh, I used to go out when I was a kid and go and play football with people at the park and stuff like that. What are you going to tell your kids that, oh, when I was your age, I was making TikToks in my bedroom? Detrimental for body image, self image. It can be detrimental for expectations, what they want to grow up to be. But yeah, it can also be one of those things that where it's kind of like, well, it's something they're used to and it's something they grew up with, kind of like you grew up with seeing the news. Like,
yeah.
I grew up with my granddaddy had the news on all the time and it didn't. And I saw people like bad news going around and it was kind of like, oh, well, another thing's happened today. Or
I guess they can
kind of look at it and be like, oh, that's just another pretty girl, I guess, or another professional footballer or another rich person sort of thing. So I guess it can be.
Yeah, fair point.
Pro and con.
Yes. Yeah. What about you, Lucy? Do you think that social media for young people is a good or a bad thing?
I think it's good and bad. I think kind of building on from Jess's point, I think it can be bad as well when a lot of these big companies are actually probably exploiting people for their insecurities. And I think that can get quite dangerous because when people are so young, so naive to the way the world works, they don't realize that they're kind of being shown things so that they can profit off of their insecurities. However, I do think it can be really good as well. I think when it's done right, it can be very educational. You can learn a lot through social media. And I think it's a great way to teach young people about important issues, about what's going on in the world in a way that they can digest and really understand. Because they're probably not going to sit and watch the news.
No, absolutely. You know, I don't think I know many children that do watch the news.
No,
now,
me neither.
Nowadays. I mean, most people get the news from online, you know, snippets.
Yeah.
What's going on. Yeah. I personally think social media is quite destructive in a lot of ways for young people, just from the point of view of accessibility and what they can see and what, you know, because it's no matter what restrictions are put in place, every child can get around it.
Yeah.
They can just and end up watching anything.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think there's any way to stop it now. You know, we've seen recently in the news that America tried to ban TikTok. That lasted a few hours. It didn't last long at all.
They didn't ban it.
I think it's only countries like China that can ban certain, you know, content for kids. Anyway, going on from that, how do you feel about body image as young women yourselves, you know, young adults? How do you feel about your body image? Is it something that you're happy with, or is it something you want to change, or is it something you don't want to talk about?
Oh no, it's like, I think it's very complicated. It's one of those things where you can say, oh, I don't like this about myself, I don't like that about myself. And then you think, oh, what can I do to change that? And then, say, for example, you go for a run or you start a training program or something like that. But I think what people get confused of is, even though you see all these pretty people on social media and stuff, or just walking down the high street, for example, they have also got the same thing going on. Like, I don't think I've ever met someone that is completely happy with themselves. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it's okay to not be completely satisfied, because what would you do if you was completely satisfied with everything? I think you'd be I wouldn't say you'd be bored, and that you should have, you should be looking in the mirror and having to think about, oh, my waistline is really big or something like that. Like, I don't think, but I think with me, my body image is that I think it was very complicated growing up and everything. I think because I'm so small, it's weird. It's like, I don't realize how small I am until someone points it out, or until I stand next to someone, or this and the other. So,
and yet there are hundreds of thousands of young women exactly the same height as you around the world.
Exactly.
Like your age.
I'm not the only one, no, 100%. But it's one of those things where I think definitely what affected me most growing up is clothes, trying to find clothes that fit. Jeans are my biggest enemy. I hate them. They're just so hard to buy. But I think they're hard to buy for everyone. I think
I 2 days ago,
yeah,
tried on 5 pairs of jeans and cried because not a single pair fit.
It's so hard to buy clothes, but I saw this thing where it was like, you're not meant to fit the clothes, or something like that. What was it?
You're not meant to fit in the clothes.
The clothes are meant to fit you. So I've always had to get my clothes altered growing up. So it's kind of like more expensive. People go to me, oh, your clothes must be cheaper because you're smaller. I'm like, not really, because I have to go and get like 3 inches chopped off my jeans and it costs me about 17 quid.
But, so do you always go to the shops, physical shops, to try on stuff rather than just ordering it and sending it back?
It's such a disappointment when you order it and then you send it back.
Yeah.
And then I think also growing up athletic, it's definitely like people that go to the gym, it's that common thing of body dysmorphia. Like you think, oh, like I'm really athletic, and then all of a sudden you think, no, I'm really skinny, or no, I'm really boxy. Like growing up as a woman, like, oh, I'm really boxy, or I'm really, I don't have.
Boxy?
Yeah, I don't have the curves, or
oh,
I've run them off, like something like that. And then you think, oh, I need to eat more then. And then you try it and you're like, no, but then I won't be skinny. Like it's just a big circle that you go through. But then you've kind of got to think, well, this is my body and this is.
And do you think that's like that's because of social expectations or it's just you?
I think you don't necessarily have to be influenced by everyone. I think it kind of just what you like.
Yeah.
And what you've, it's influenced by what you've seen. But I think it's just when you look in the mirror and you're like, I don't know, not satisfied or.
Don't like what you see.
Yeah.
Or you're just not happy with it.
Just not happy. Yeah. But some days you can be really happy with it. Like I've had a few days where I'm like, no, you know what? I'm really happy with how I look.
Yeah.
At the moment. And then someone catches you in a bad picture, like a mugshot, and you're like, oh no. And
I think that's everyone, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you have your picture taken, you're like, what is that?
Yeah.
What about you, Lucy?
You have good days and bad days. I think I don't know anyone that doesn't have insecurities.
Sure.
I think everyone's got something they don't like about themselves. And I think if you can see the things you don't like about yourself and just kind of take them as they are and think, oh, well, it's me, then that's fine. But I think if you really start like tearing yourself apart because of your insecurities, then I think that can get damaging. But I think for me, I definitely do have things I'm insecure about, but they're just me. And if other people don't like them, then they're not meant to be in my life. That's fine.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, on the flip side of that, then there must be things that you're happy about yourselves.
Yes.
You know, both of you, you know, the aspects of your either physical appearance or mental appearance that you like.
Yeah. No, yeah, 100%. Yeah, no, I do try my best to kind of think, okay, this is something you don't like about yourself. Let's try and counteract it and think about something you do like about yourself. And kind of, or you think that you're lucky to have, like my dad always goes to me, where you've got arms and legs and you can walk and you should be happy. And I'm like, yeah, no, it's true. I have got arms and legs and I'm very fortunate to,
there could be people in
to be healthy and to have all these things.
That's all right.
So I think...
And for you, Lucy, you're happy with certain aspects or everything?
Not everything, but there are definitely aspects I like about myself. I think I know that I'm a good person and I like how I treat other people. I think for me, that's really important.
Yeah, I like to judge people by how they treat animals.
So you love me then?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah,
like, there you go. You're in Simon's good books now.
I do like, I think I say if you watch people how they are with dogs or cats or just animals in general, I think that's always a good measure of the sort of person somebody might be.
Or even if they actually look at them as they come in the door, I think. If there is a person that does not look at a dog when they walk through the door, I just think instantly no. Like, how do you not?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
You're not my person.
I went to dinner the other night. My partner Caroline and myself went to a friend's house, and the first thing I asked, and I'd not met these people before, but they're Caroline's friends, and when we went through the door, the first thing I said to the lady was, "Have you got a dog?" And she went, "Why does my house smell of dog?" And I went, "No, no. I just want to know if you have a dog, you know, because I like dogs." And then for the rest of the time, she was paranoid.
Oh, because did she have a dog?
No.
Oh.
I know. So she said she used to have one, but it was a cockapoo, but she's such a busy woman, they couldn't look after it.
Oh.
Just to wrap this up, and you know, and thank you very much for your time and everything. If you ever got to the state where you did find life overwhelming, you know, you're struggling with your mental health or anything else like that, would you know where to get help or support?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jess?
I reckon so.
Yeah?
I think so, yeah. And it probably wouldn't be professional help. It would be friends, family, I think, just even, like, people at work. I think even if you hint that you're a bit overwhelmed, people can be so nice. It's definitely a hard, especially depending on what's going on in your life. But I think it doesn't hurt to be honest. And when people go, "Are you okay?" and you're like, "You know what? I'm just having a bit of a hard time right now."
Yeah.
And then people go, "Oh, it's okay." Like, and that people can be so nice. Like, but I think I'd probably go to like someone like Lucy or my mom or something like that. But
yeah. Okay. What about you then, Lucy?
Yeah, I think I'm very open with what's going on in my brain and my mental health. So I definitely talk about it a lot. And for me, being able to really discuss it with my friends and family is what's so important for me. What do they say? A problem shared is a problem halved. And I definitely think that. I think when someone else knows how you're feeling, I don't know
You don't worry about offloading on people.
I don't, because I think I know that I do it for others, and I think my friendships are very much based on being there for each other. But also, as someone who's had to access help for mental health multiple times, 4 or 5 times in the past, I do feel very comfortable making that decision to think, well, my friends are great, but I'm going to need extra help for this one.
Yeah.
So I think there's, it's good to recognize that line of, okay, I need professional help as well. So
would you would go to professional help if you needed it?
Yeah. I have done about 4 or 5 times.
Right. Okay. Would you, Jess?
I don't think I would. I think I find it hard even telling people that who are close to me my problems and offloading on them, and because it makes me feel quite vulnerable. I don't know how I feel about doing that to a stranger, just a random person, well, not random, but just to someone that I don't know, knowing about my problems more than my friends or my mum or something like that.
Sure.
I just think I don't know, it wouldn't make me feel comfortable. Yeah. Even if they were really, really nice person, it would just be...
It's a big step, isn't it?
Vulnerable.
Okay. What advice would you give other young women your age in terms of staying healthy physically and mentally? Any advice you'd give people? Like, let's say, Lucy?
Go outside more. Be around trees. Be in green spaces and listen to a podcast or listen to music or an audiobook or just listen to the birds. Like, it has such a positive impact on your mental health. Also exercising outdoors, go for a run, go for a long walk.
Excellent. Yeah.
I think really be outdoors, but also talk to your friends, talk to strangers, talk to people.
Yeah.
I think being open and honest about things you're struggling with and your mental health is so important. So go outside and talk to people.
Okay. And Jess?
I think, especially to young women, just stop giving a shit about what everyone else thinks. I think that is probably
great advice.
And it's easier said than done, but I think it's a bit of a fake it till you make it situation where you're just kind of like, well, just F it. Like, you're just kind of like, you can have your reckless moments and just don't be afraid of making mistakes. I think a lot of people are really, really scared of making mistakes. I especially was, and I still am, but that's just a natural human thing, and people just want this clean moral slate all the time, and I'm kind of like, well, you're not human if you don't make mistakes, so just
absolutely
stop giving a shit, really.
It's you know, we all know that it's, you know, screwing up is a human thing.
It's a great story as well, further down the line. It's quite funny to laugh out. So
Yeah, when I fell over a few days ago, I was with my mum.
Yeah.
And I was upset. This was right after I just had a bit of a meltdown over the fact that no jeans fit me. I fell over and I was all stressed. And I looked at my mum and she goes, "I know it's hard right now, but you'll be laughing about it in a few days." And now, already 2 days later, I think it's hilarious.
It's just so funny.
I couldn't wait to tell Jess because I thought it was so funny.
I think it's great to laugh at yourself. And yeah. I think it's great to laugh at other people. I think I know it sounds
Stop
really mean.
Stop taking everything so seriously.
But you're not in a movie. You can laugh. Like, no one's watching you. You're not scripted. You're not going to get fired if you laugh.
No.
Like, I think it's great to smile. Well, and it calms everyone else down. It creates a great atmosphere. So
great. Thank you very much, both. Loved having you on. And you are the first people I've interviewed. So this is our pilot interview. So congratulations.
Pilot.
Hopefully this will turn out. So anyway, thanks very much.
Lisa, thank you.
And you can, you know, when it comes out. Okay, that wraps up the show for today. Thanks for your time and for listening. As always, I'd appreciate it if you could like, follow and subscribe to my show, This Upbeat Life, so I know I'm on the right track. And even better, leave a review and share it with your friends. Now here on This Upbeat Life, you can share your thoughts, you can ask questions and be part of our growing community. And if you've got a story for far out stuff, or you just want to get in touch with your health and wellness stories and ideas, then email me at thisupbeatlife@gmail.com and I'll read it out on the next show. You can also find me on Facebook and Instagram as This Upbeat Life and on Blue Sky as Simon JJ Green. And until next time, remember, happiness is the best medicine.